All right, now that I've got all four of you guys up here, we're going to join hands and sing Kumbaya. Let's do it. No, we're not. You were going to jump in and do that, weren't you, Martin? Yeah, all over it. There are a lot of times the differences between these four commodity groups are mentioned in the public, and sometimes in a contentious way. And you all four will agree, as I do, that we have far more in common than we do different. The bottom line, of course, is profitability and making sure that there's a sustainable way that that producer can live at that. Anytime I think profitability and money, I'm always reminded of that old story of the farmer that took his dying dog to the priest and said, "Will you perform last rites on my dying dog?" And the priest said, I don't do that. We don't do last rites on a dog." And the farmer said, "Well, that's too bad, because I was going to give $10,000 to the parish." And the priest said, "Well, why didn't you tell me that dog was Catholic?" It always comes back to profitability and to money. And that is one thing we can all agree on. So my question to all four of you is, what are the commodity groups doing together to educate the public on perception issues and otherwise on those things that we can't agree on?
Well, Mark, the first thing we do, you know, we met yesterday, we got together, we had a few cocktails, and got to meet each other.
You know, I'd heard that you had a few cocktails. I had heard that.
I told you I was going to say that.
Yes. By the way, I went to one of those off-site receptions last night, and I had a couple of, probably two too many cocktails. And I actually had to take the bus back to the hotel, which is weird, because I did not even knew that I could drive a bus. That's crazy. Don't know how that happened, really. Commodity Classic may be getting a bill for something that I'm unaware of. But anyway, so I know that you work together in a lot of coalitions and other groups. Tell us about some of that.
You know, what we do overall, Mark, is we work together. You know, we all have staffs in Washington, D.C. Those staffs work together. Probably that's where we really work together on policy stuff more than anything, is in D.C., and we do that. But, you know, overall, you introduced me. I grow corn. I grow soybeans. I grow wheat. I grow grain sorghum.
Yep.
So and that puts me interested in what they're doing to start with.
So that's, which is fairly typical.
Yes, you know, fairly typical. Yeah. That's what we do.
We're all diversified to some degree.
Yeah.
As we talked yesterday among us, you know, there has been a message out there that ag groups don't work together for the farm bill. And, you know, we really did work together on the farm bill, and it's unfortunate that message was out there, because we talked often and had a lot of the same initiatives in the farm bill, and I think that's important to know. You know, and the message is that when we work together, we all benefit, all of agriculture.
In leadership always encouraged us whenever we'd go into to the principals, they'd say, "Why can't the commodities get together and give us something that we need? One Title One." We do work together. We agreed on federal crop insurance. It's the most important to every one of the commodities. Yep. But to try to get a Title One program that fits all commodities, we couldn't even do that within the wheat industry easily. So it's much more difficult than that. But we do meet together and talk, the leadership and the staff.
And Mark, we did have a very good meeting yesterday and discussed a lot of this, and I'll have to be the first to admit, I think we have been a little bit remiss in really actively displaying that we work together. And we all vowed yesterday in our meeting that we were going to change that, because if we'll just do some things like this classic, you know, but if we'll just do some things throughout the year that lets the people know that, hey, these ag people are getting it together and doing what they need to do. And we've been a little remiss at that, but that's something we need to work on.
Well, and I think you're right. The perception, if we can change the perception a little bit, just let them know what we are doing, that's clearly going to help. Mm-hmm. Secretary of Ag was here talking about the farm bill. We knew that that's what he was going to talk about. We can't say that we're done now because we're just into phase two now, the implementation of that farm bill. There's going to be a lot of questions about that. What issues do you see arising for agriculture in general, but specifically your commodity groups with regards to implementation of that farm bill?
So you know, we got to hear from Deputy Secretary Krista Hardin yesterday and really asked a lot of questions about implementing the new farm bill and the rules and regulations that are there, and how we all need to work together to make sure that our farmers, you know, understand the programs. There's lots of options there, and we need to help them choose the best option for their farm.
For the wheat industry, allowing for especially winter wheat to to be able to pick something right now and be able to change it after the everything's set and finalized. That's a big deal. That was a big issue for the wheat industry. But we've just got to educate our producers now. This is an entirely different program. I know there's some of my neighbors that probably still think they're going to get a direct payment.
Yep.
Because we were told a year ago we weren't going to get one, and we got one last year. So a lot of it's going to be education.
You know, Mark, one of the things, I had the opportunity to be briefed along with our Vice President Chip Bowling by Joe Schultz with the House or Senate Ag Committee the day that Senator Stabenow was running around getting everybody signed off on the conference report. And one of the things he told us with a great smile was, we've got some money in here for education for growers. We're going to be able to provide for some universities and some of our economists to do programs to let growers understand how this program will work for them. I think that was a huge problem with the acre program in 08. There was no education. Producers just didn't really understand the program.
You bet.
Yeah, we're just key on educate. And because this is totally different than anything that our producers have ever seen before. And it's, if we make a mistake and sign up in a direction that we're not happy with, we can't change. Mm-hmm. So we need to take our time, study this, and make the right decision and teach our member producers throughout ag how to find the answer they need and the part of the program that will fit
you
them.
Bet. Well, you've given me a perfect segue to final question I want to ask you guys, and that is educate. We've got to do more education within our commodity groups and our producers, no question. But we still have the issue of educating outside and creating that, as I mentioned earlier, the public perception. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? How are we doing in that? Is it getting better, or are we going the other direction? Are we making progress in terms of public perception of agriculture?
Yeah, Mark, we talked about that yesterday, too, and that's going to be the next step because we hear things like this could be the last farm bill. Well, obviously, we don't want this to be the last farm bill. That's unsurvivable for agriculture. But we... we've just got to all work together and the next step is, and it's going to be the tough step, we're going to have to go to those urban areas and go to those people that are our end users, and we're going to have to somehow educate them and tell them our story and make them understand why we need this farm policy and why it's critical to them.
That's probably our toughest part is we don't speak real well to consumers. We're dealing with policy issues, and we expect common sense will take care of the rest. That doesn't always work.
It's fantasy.
It is fantasy.
Yes, a lot of times.
The sustainability issue, it's just not... we look at it economically sustainable. Yeah. To do that, we become environmentally sustainable. But they want us to be socially sustainable.
Right.
And I had never heard of that before.
Mm-hmm.
That means we got to educate the consumers.
You bet.
You know, Mark, one of the things, we're all involved in USFRA, U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. Yep. They're doing the food dialogues now on all over the country. You know, we all heard Food Inc., Michael Pollan. He used to say whatever he wanted to. He now says, I can't do that anymore. Agriculture has a new voice. So he has to verify what he's saying, and he can't all the time. So we're out there, we're doing these things and creating new programs all the time. I mentioned Common Ground earlier.
Yep.
You know, that's farm women talking to consumer women. That's what it's all about.
So at ASA and a lot of our organizations, we partner with our industry partners to not only educate us, as directors to say the right things, but we also want to work with our farmers in general. So when they're talking to their neighbors and their friends around the country, that they can share with them the benefits of agriculture and why we do what we do. I think that's an important message. And if they understand that, we'll have a better understanding about agriculture and more support for agriculture.
It's one of those oddities is that we have a general fondness. The public has a fondness of us. They appreciate us. We rank high in terms of respect, yet they know so little about us, and they have a skewed perception of us. So it's something that we've got to keep doing. Ladies and gentlemen, these four gentlemen, as their predecessors have and their predecessors have, they have spent thousands of hours for the thousands of you in their respective commodity groups. Would you put your hands together and thank them for their work and for their time on stage? Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Great job.